Hello, podcasters. Your favourite show is about to begin, but what if you could listen to it without having to worry about using data? Your exclusive podcast offer is here. Now that you've pressed play on us, head to ilovedata.com.au and get 50 gigs of data every month for $59.95. No contracts, no catches. ilovedata.com.au. Go on, open up your browser. And now, catch up with the guys.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
Subaru Osborne Park's Big Five for 5 days. Get $500 cash back, $500 genuine accessories, and 5-year extended warranty.
In this catch up, what will you be remembered for? And Luke McGregor from ABC's Rosehaven. The Heidi, Will and Woody catch up on Hit 92.9.
It's a trip, and I can bug out to it.
With Heidi Anderson, Will McMahon, and Woody Whitelaw.
Okay, I think. And look, I know that when anyone fills up their car at a petrol station, they all do one thing.
What is that?
I'm 100% sure about it, and I've got people to call me on 13 10 60, people who are going to have to fill up their car today. Okay, here it is. In my opinion, everyone, when they have finished filling up their car, will shake the nozzle.
Yeah.
And then get the final drips out.
Yeah.
No, I've never done that.
Didn't hear that, Anderson. Didn't hear it. Just whoosh, straight
open. Why? But I thought that's kind of, what's the...
Do you think everyone does that?
I've not noticed, but I've not done it myself. Right. So I don't know if anyone else...
Is it that alarming that everyone does
it? It's not alarming. It's just like, wow, Woody, what an observation.
I actually think everyone goes inside and pays... For their petrol after their
petrol. No, people have stolen it before, Will. Incorrect. Rochelle from Gosnells, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Do you shake the nozzle, Rochelle?
I can't shake the nozzle because I'll get it all over my shoes.
And you don't want to get it down on the side of the car.
Okay, interesting. I've done a flip. Einstein used to do this. Thanks for the call, Rochelle. I think all men shake the nozzle and all women don't shake the nozzle. Better observation, Will?
Yeah.
Do you reckon because guys are used to
shaking our nozzles? Not bad, Anderson.
Maybe,
Trent from Wattle Grove. How are you, Trent?
Yeah, not bad, mate.
Do you shake the nozzle, Trent?
I'm a definite nozzle shaker.
You bloody ripper. Good on you, Trent. So,
I think it might be because you're used to it.
I think it's ridiculous.
Because we're used to shaking
Sarah, it. Sarah right. from Quinana, you wouldn't shake the nozzle.
Well,
I do.
Oh, yes. Damn.
I knew that was going to happen. Thank
Sarah,
God.
Sarah, have you got that's a bad question. Sorry, Sarah. Charlie from Ellenbrook.
What were you going to ask Sarah?
I was going to ask her if she had a nozzle, but that didn't make sense.
Well, she might.
Charlie from Ellenbrook, how are you going?
Good, mate. You?
Look, I'm all right. I was almost at 100%. But Charlie, do you shake the nozzle, mate?
You have to do the shake.
You got to shake the nozzle.
I feel like you're missing out. Although, I also think that a lot of people shake the nozzle with the nozzle outside of the thingo.
And then it goes on your car.
It just evaporates.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you shake it while it's outside,
you're
going to get it on your shoes like the other bird said.
Yeah, the other bird did say that.
So that's how you stop it from dripping down the side of your car.
An inexperienced nozzle shaker.
I shake back and forth almost.
In the thingo.
In and out of the car and flick it.
Yeah.
I was pretty bloody close there. Can we maybe put one more across? I tell you what, if Lisa from Southern River, can we go to Lisa from Southern River? If she doesn't shake the nozzle, I think this has been a bloody good observation.
If she doesn't.
And I think both
Hang on,
of you.
You said everyone shakes
no,
the nozzle.
No, no, no. I said girls don't and guys do.
All right, okay.
It's science, Will. You make hypotheses and you flip them around. For a huge moment on the show at 6:30, Lisa from Southern River, do you shake the nozzle?
Yeah, I shake the nozzle.
Oh, yes! God damn. Thank you,
so your
Lisa.
Your first observation was probably right, Woods.
Nah.
No, I don't know what I know.
No, nah, there's no observation
there's
there.
No observation.
There's no observation.
Science is dead.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
What are you nervous about?
Oh, no, I get it. I'm passionate about it. And so I have a lot of things to say on it.
Right. Yeah.
I want to talk about...
Let's get the clock on there.
I want to talk about women and how we keep pitting them against each other in our society even on this show. So I want women to unite and I want to call in the sisterhood right now. So you can always call us on 131060.
The sisterhood.
I like the sisterhood. I think it's great.
What
like
is the sisterhood?
Well, you know, all chicks sticking together. There's a sisterhood.
Yeah. Oh.
but I'm calling you out.
Who run the world, Ando?
I'm calling you out because I don't know who's to blame, but why this keeps happening. So remember when we spoke to Mel B the other day and Channel 7 in the lead up to X Factor and her coming back have just been talking about how her and Iggy are fighting each other and there's going to be this big cat fight. Yep. Just because they have a differing opinion. Have a listen to what Mel said.
I mean, not everyone agrees with your parenting philosophies. There's been some blowback. Is it Lisa, the notorious mum? She's jumped in. Why do you think that is?
That's the wrong one.
That's Pete Hellier.
So we've got Mel B.
That's...
Remember she was on the show? Yeah. A little bit of a stuff up. No wonder I was nervous. I knew that was going to happen. Okay, so my point is here. So whilst we find the right audio.
Yep.
My point is that whenever women go head to head... That we always say, oh, it's a cat fight.
Love a
They're
cat fight.
They're being bitches.
We love a cat fight.
But if guys have differing opinions.
Dog fight.
It's not. There's not even a mention about it.
Oh, no. Come on, Hyde. There are some big bloody rivalries in the guy world. Are you kidding me?
Okay, with who?
Oh, where do I start?
For example.
Okay. In the AFL world, Jared Waitley and Ross Lyon cannot be on the same TV show or radio show as each other. Mm. They despise each other. Literally refuse to be on the same show.
And so what? How do you feel as a man, like, seeing that? Like, do you guys get...
differences in opinions? But do you guys... I quite like it.
And see, that's okay. But as soon as it's women, it's like, oh, my God, they're being such bitches. That's what happens.
I don't think that Julie Bishop and Julia Gillard really ever saw eye to eye, did they?
But and this is the thing, but that was something that we always talk about. It's always but the women
But hang on. No, hang on.
We...
Like, if you go in politics... Riddled with men going toe-to-toe.
Danny Green, Anthony Mundine.
Paul Keating, John Howard. They were exactly the same.
But that's a rivalry, Hyde. Like they are constantly going into Anthony Mundine and Danny Green.
But I feel like with women, especially in the media lately, so Constance Hall has, you know, she's a famous mummy blogger from Perth.
Yeah.
Just recently, another lady by the name of Lisa Sheeran, she wrote a blog about Constance and said she disagreed with all of her mummying skills and basically the things that she comes out and says. Then there's this huge uproar and it's been on every single newspaper and she was on the project last night. That was the other audio that we were going to play there. Yesterday it happened on our show and I didn't know how I felt about it. When you guys were talking about Sam Frost and me and her being up against each other in the Cosmo Fun Fearless, just because I might be acting competitive, you guys said that I disliked her.
Have you got anything nice to say about Sam Frost?
I like her, but she beat me. I like her, but I will take her down.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
But no, but you guys say that to each other, like when you get competitive. Do you know what I mean? But as soon as us females say something like that and voice our opinions, and even if people say call into the show or whatever, as soon as I give my opinion about something to another lady, it's like, oh, they're going head to head.
I'm not sure if you've got a case here, Hyde. Like
I believe I do.
I think that blokes go at each other as much and guys...
But it's not looked at negatively. It's not looked at negatively.
It is.
No, see, I don't think it is.
You're saying that it's not guys...
It's not that I feel like, and I'm not just saying that it's you two. I feel like society is to blame, and maybe us women are to blame as well because people are saying, oh, you know, that we're always girls.
So you're saying girls can't have
a
healthy, constructive argument. Is that what you're saying?
Without people saying,
labeling it as a cat fight.
So you're going when two girls are rivals, because I actually love rivalry. I think it's brilliant in sport,
so
in politics, in all walks of life. But when two girls go to each other, everyone goes, oh, chill out, girls. Like, you know.
Why are the girls
going? Whereas when two guys go at each other, it's like,
yes.
Healthy.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you'll think that there's a stereotype associated with girls arguing.
And just having a different opinion.
As opposed to...
It doesn't even necessarily mean that we have to have a cat fight.
Okay. And do you know what? You know why? I'm just going to put this out there. Because I do kind of agree with that. I think that we associate a lot more venom with girls arguing, right? Whereas with guys, they can argue, they can have it out, they can shake hands.
Yeah.
And it's this very... But I think that's sort of embedded in the culture.
Well,
because as a guy growing up, if you've got an issue with someone, and I think this is very much a genetic thing as well, you have it out.
Yeah, and you might.
You have it out.
Fisticuffs or
something. Well, maybe. But either way, you front up to the person. You say, look, mate, I've got an issue with you. That's the point. Whereas I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is very much the vibe I get off my sister going to an all-girls school and a lot of the other girls.
And I did as well, so I know what it's like.
You don't front up. You talk about it with your mates. You build an argument. You go behind each other's backs and stuff. To the point that when it does come out, that's why it's so interesting. Because normally girls don't argue in the public like that. It's different.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
That's why the media will pick it up and stuff.
Because they go, hey, this doesn't happen.
This is two girls.
Girls are normally all smiles with each other in the open.
It should be okay. And on 131060, I guess I want to talk about why this is happening. Like I said before, is society to blame? What is your opinion on this? Give us a call.
We've got Tom here from Hillary's. Hey, Tommy, how are you, mate?
Hi, guys. How's it going this morning?
Yeah, good, mate. What are your thoughts on all this?
I'd just like to say up front, I'm only a recent convert to you guys, and I love what you're doing. You guys really get out there, and it's quite robust and healthy. It's good to see.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Jesus Christ.
Who paid you?
You might have called the wrong show, bro. It's 6PR.
What are your thoughts on this? Why do you think that we pit women against each other?
I don't think we naturally do that. I think it's a gender thing that women do all their lives. Like, as the guy...
Yeah, and we discussed this before, Tom. Yeah.
Yeah. As the guys alluded to before, like when they go to school, the guys have a problem. They'll go out there and they'll punch on or whatever they want to do or confront. Yeah, going, I heard you said this, or you don't like the way I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Where women, there's so many different avenues they do together. They get that pack mentality.
Yeah, it's very passive, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and once they're together as a pack, they're quite happy. But once they get confronted, that's when the venom and everything comes out, and it's therefore. Yeah. A lot more nasty.
Anyway, well, I don't know necessarily if it's the venom coming out when it goes one on one, Tom, but I think it's almost like the novelty of when it does happen, because you're not used to seeing it.
Yeah.
Because girls are, I think, traditionally, and maybe this is a societal thing, maybe it's a genetic thing, but they are very much behind closed doors arguers.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that, but however, girls are getting more and more vocal and physical and stuff like that.
Yep.
And so when it happens...
Oh, it's like, oh, what the hell's going on here? Cat fight. Where's the popcorn? Thanks, Tom. Thanks for answering the call.
I know for me, like going to an all-girls school, it was hugely bitchy. And in year 9 and 10 especially...
And it can be crippling for girls, can't it?
Yeah, like, and it's really horrible. And that packed mentality, I totally understand that. But I hate as you get older and you might have a couple of powerful women who are strongly opinionated or whatever, that it's always... It comes back to the way, oh, you're being such bitches, like it was back in high school, when it's like, oh no, we're just having a disagreement here. Yeah. That should be okay.
And that should be allowed.
Go, Miriam here from Northbridge. Hey, Miriam, how you going?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thanks. What are your thoughts on this?
I totally agree that you guys are, like, the guys are completely wrong on this.
The guys, as in me and Will, or just boys in general?
Why do you think that? What are your thoughts on it?
Burn them in.
I feel like as a woman, like you can't have a disagreement with another woman without people thinking it's emotional.
Yeah.
It could just be like based on the facts or the merit or what you think. But like people just like scandalize it and then make it seem like it's all about emotions or it's like because she doesn't like her.
Mm. Yeah, the media will do that, won't they, to sort of promote shows, and that's what they've done with X Factor. And why do you think that is, Miriam?
Because they think that's entertainment, that it's, like, better if a woman has an emotional response than an intelligent response.
Yeah.
It can't be based on a woman's intelligence. It's always based on her emotions.
Yeah, I hear that. I definitely hear that. Yeah.
And although, I'm one person who can react emotionally, definitely.
Yeah, and I don't want to sit here by any means and paint all women with the same brush.
No.
However... I think that, well, geez, maybe it's just in my experience.
We have been together for 3 years now, Will.
No, not just you and me, though, Hides. And I actually got this advice from a girl once, which I think is very true, is that sometimes when you have an argument with a girl sometimes, as a bloke, you can have the best logical argument in the world, but they don't really care about the logic. They just want you to acknowledge that you have understood their emotion.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and if you do that, you actually can walk away from the fight unscathed. So I'm not saying by any means that women can't have a logical argument.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of the time, if they are arguing vocally, to get them into that vocal sphere, it does take a lot of emotion.
Yeah. But even examples in the office as well, like if two girls,
going disagree. Toe-to-toe,
it's like, oh my God, they're letting their emotions get in front of them. And then it kind of, it's a bit demoralizing. You know what I mean? I'm one to act on emotion. I have definitely done that.
We've seen some emotional spats in this office. I mean, it's truth almighty. I mean, I've been front row with popcorn to a couple of them, and they're bloody good. Hey, Alex from Scarborough, what are your thoughts on this?
Look, I completely agree that both sides have really valid arguments, but I just believe women get so, like, aggravated by situations so easily because our meanings are never really felt by men. Like, our meaning never gets understood because we have so much emotion in it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So they don't us seriously.
They don't take what... And when we get angry, we're just being... We're just emotional. We don't, you know... We're not actually having a valid point. We're just, you know, moody and all that stuff. And I feel
And can I suggest for all the guys out there, the best way to handle this when a woman does it is just say, hey, look, you're just getting emotional.
And don't ever...
Thanks for catching up on your favourite show on this podcast. Now, if you're a tragic Twitterer, you upload on Instagram or you stream all your favourite songs, you're going to love this deal from Ovo Mobile. Switch to an Ovo data sim now and you'll score an unbelievable 50 gigs for $59.95 on 4G. No contracts, no catches, and no more texts telling you about the additional $10 for 1 gig added to your already expensive phone plans. Can I get an amen? And as if that isn't brilliant enough, Ovo is going to give you the first month half price. So let's break this down. One whole month to enjoy 50 gigs on 4G for just $59.95, and the first month half price. 50 gigs of YouTube, social media, FaceTime, Tinder, whatever you want on the World Wide Web for half the price I know I was paying before I made the switch. ilovedata.com.au. You can open up the website right now while we get back to your favourite show.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
This bloke's on the show.
Luke McGregor.
The cute giggle is his.
Luke McGregor.
Red hair, freckles and white skin.
Luke McGregor.
Yep, that's definitely him. He's the funny bloke off a show called Rosehaven.
We made the best show in the world.
Yes! Yay! Luke McGregor's back!
We made the best show in the world. That is a big call.
Hey, it's doing well, Rosehaven.
It's been good, yeah. I always get nervous checking Twitter, but it's been nice. So I haven't had to throw my phone in the bin yet.
Do you really strap yourself in, Luke? Like, do you lock away a time to go, okay, we're checking Twitter? Do you get Celia? Do you sit down together? Like, how does it go?
Yeah, just hold hands and have like alcohol ready to go. So it's hard. It's just that thing of I don't know. You want feedback because you're just sort of putting your stuff out into a void. Mm. I mean, do you guys check Twitter? Are you guys very like active with feedback or?
I used to until I got a message from a guy off Twitter that said, listening to you makes me want to stick pins in my ear and drive my car into a tree. And I was like, wow.
I remember that. That was,
It sticks with you. I had a guy once who said, I'd rather get a lung infection than listen to your comedy. It was quite... And just message me that. Just private message me that on my Facebook. Like, all right, buddy.
It's hard to know where to go from there, though, isn't it? Yeah. When you get such a full-on one. I don't know how to change.
It's
Luke, you're so passionate about what you're doing, you know what I mean? And you've written it and you've starred in it. And I know I was reading a piece, it must have been an interview that you and Celia did just before you guys aired Rosehaven. She said that the character that you play, Daniel, is Luke, if you'd never found comedy. So is
Pretty
right?
Much. Yeah, I am not a good actor, so I play characters that are me. Pretty much. I'd love to play a cool guy who does a lot of jumps on motorcycles. I don't know if I can pull it off.
Please. I mean, that needs to be done.
If there's an Evel Knievel biopic, I'm sure your name will be thrown in the ring.
Surely you could do a new show like Who Luke Wants to Be or something.
Yeah, it'd be one of those, what was that Eddie Murphy film where he plays a really confident guy and a really shy guy? Anyway, one of those, but I'll...
You mean Dr. Do...
Nutty Professor.
Nutty
Professor, if he makes it. I don't know, were there two of them? Three of them? I don't know. But
there's a few.
Eddie Murphy, if you make another one and you want to, if you want someone else to, you know, star alongside you, okay, no, I should probably get off the phone now in case he calls.
But that's why it would hurt when people message you on Twitter or your Facebook because, like, you know, it is a part of you.
Hey, Luke, I just had a bit of an idea, mate. I know you are such a nice dude and you're very hard to get to say bad things about anyone, but I'm just looking. All right, so tonight, 9 o'clock, I've got the TV guide up in front of me. I want you to try and give, if you can, a quick slag to the other TV shows that are on.
Okay? At the same time as you.
At the same time as you. All right? So obviously, ABC 9 o'clock Rosehaven. That's so your weird. Show tonight.
Yeah.
Doctor, Channel 9. What have you got to say about that?
It's an amazing show, but please watch Rosehaven. Gotcha!
That's a fail.
Yeah.
Next one. Next one. Really, sadly, is. This one's also another. They're going to get calls from Channel 9. Here we go. SBS, 24 hours in emergency, fathers and sons.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? Oh, man. I cannot think of a worse show to try and wreck on the 24 hours in emergency. Oh, I can say that. Okay.
You can't wreck on it, can you?
Oh, man.
Oh, here we go. Here's one for you. The Wrong Girl, Channel 10, tee off.
Yes. I've heard if you loved Avatar and the Lord of the Rings trilogy, you'll also love The Wrong Girl. Please watch it. I can't be negative. I can't do it.
You're such a nice guy.
He tried so hard.
So that's what you do. You just take the mickey out of yourself all the time.
It's too hard. I'd worry that somehow the producer of Wrong Girl tunes in just as, like, without any context and then turns off before it gets the context at the end, and then I can't do it. I'm too scared.
Luke McGregor, you are such a nice guy, mate. You're also bloody hilarious. And you can go and see him. Sit down and watch him playing himself if he wasn't in comedy. How about that for a great way to watch a TV show? It's on Rosehaven. It continues tonight, 9 o'clock, only on the ABC. Stuff your 24 hours of emergency, fathers and sons. Don't care.
Oh.
Cop it. There you go. I did it for you, mate. And we'll see you next week, Luke. Have a great... Phone's ringing. It's the Channel 9 producers, mate. Watch out. We'll catch you later, Luke.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
My brother Tom, great guy, lovely guy.
Lovely guy, Tom.
Lives in London.
Much nicer than you, actually.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. He is. He definitely is, but only because he's so lovely. But yesterday, he was so arrogant to me.
On the phone?
On the phone, he's going like, "Oi, Woody, mate, guess what? I'm going to see Graham Norton tonight."
Yep. So jealous. That's how great. Amazing. Graham Norton, huge show. They play it on Saturday nights here.
Not only is he going TV. To see Graham Norton, he starts arrogantly name-dropping, "Oi, Woody, there's going to be Bryan Cranston, in my opinion, one of the best actors in the world, Benedict Cumberbatch, the new star of Doctor Strange,
God, you're breathing good.
And Eddie Redmayne."
Oh, wow.
And Tom's going like, "Oh, have you ever seen Graham Norton?" And I was like, "No, I haven't seen
Have
Graham
you not?
Norton.
He drinks a glass of wine on every episode. Sounds and everyone's amazing. Like a little bit happy because they've all had a few drinks before the show.
And then he says to me, "Oi, mate, just to whack a bit of icing on an already delicious cake, I know someone who works for the show and I'm going to be allowed to go behind the scenes.
No way.
And I'll probably meet Bryan Cranston, Eddie Redmayne and Benedict Cumberbatch at the same time."
What a legend.
Pretty good.
Arrogant.
Bragging.
Well, mate, you always brag about being friends with Mitchell Johnson and Xavier Ellis.
Okay,
and
pump the brakes. True. There's more, by the way, but yeah. I do that.
Yeah.
Get a text message this morning from my brother.
Yep.
Rocked up to Graham Norton last night.
Yeah.
Turns out they overbooked every single show because they want to guarantee it'll be a full studio. And because it was such good guests, he actually didn't get
in. Oh, no.
Cop it, Tom. Cop it.
Devastated anyway, for him.
On 131060, I want to ask about when you've bragged too early.
Yeah.
Or bragged prematurely.
Yeah.
So you were really smug about something, you were arrogant about something, and then, unfortunately, it didn't come to fruition.
Yep. Okay.
Could be even in relationships as well. Like if you said that you were dating this girl and you're really excited about it and she hadn't confirmed it yet.
Right.
Yeah absolutely. That'd
be mortifying.
Work.
Yeah, if that happened.
Has that happened?
No.
It's like that time you went to the supermarket before.
Have you got one for me?
No, I actually didn't even think of you.
What did I go and buy?
You went to go and buy some...
Oh, you didn't.
Did I?
And then anyway, 13, 10, 60.
No, I didn't. Hang on a second.
Best callers.
No, I didn't go and buy.
For the best, mate, let's drop it. For the best callers, Colour Run tickets. When did you brag prematurely? Andrew from Thornley.
How you going, guys?
Hey, Andrew.
Mate. Good, mate. Did you brag prematurely?
Yeah, me and my housemates play a bit of Mario Kart.
Oh,
and,
fantastic. Yep.
We had a bit of an agreement that loser had to buy dinner.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And, yeah, overall in the Grand Prix, you have a bit of a, you have a grand total score, and I was only just in last position.
Yep.
But on the last race, I was winning, coming up last lap, just about across the finish line, and got hit by a red shell. And
The old red shell.
Yeah,
at the death. Who fired it? Just out of, because I also get a lot of satisfaction if I'm last and I fire a leader shell.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're coming last, three quarters of a lap to go. You hate the person in front. Often it's Peach.
Yeah,
leader shell from the back. Bang. Thanks for coming.
So
it's a great feeling.
Who shot the red shell, Andrew?
It was my brother.
Oh, even better. I cannot tell you how many open brawls Mario Kart has caused in my house.
Did you know?
I've had my hair pulled from one brother and like being punched in the stomach by the other.
Andrew, one time, we should be doing Mario Kart stories, but Andrew.
This is 13, 10, 60. When did somebody celebrate too early in Mario Kart?
And I did this. I was driving and I was coming first and my brother was like, oi, guess what, mate? I've got red shell. And he was right behind me and I was like, struth, I'm cooked. Unbelievable. Yeah. He shot me with red shell. But you know when you burst, you flip over when you get, I flipped over the line.
Oh,
so
wow.
I still came first.
Wow. Yeah, Andrew enjoyed that story as well. You know, another great moment in Mario Kart as well, if you're particularly playing Wario's Stadium, is if somebody's creaming it at the front right
and you do the jump
and you get lightning before the jump. Game over.
Huge
moment.
I used to play Alex the Kid all the time on Sega. That's how old I am.
I think a lot of people are calling for Mario Kart stories, but we'll go to Casey first from Burns Beach.
If there are more Mario Kart stories, bring them across.
Casey, how are you going?
Hi, how you going?
Good, okay, thank you. Did someone brag too early?
Oh, that was myself.
Yep.
I was booked a plane to Bali and I was missing out on work and all the meetings. And then our flights got cancelled because of the volcano, so I had to do the walk of shame. Unplanned meeting, everything. So,
no.
Yeah, always fun, but never mind. So, yeah, it was my fault.
Did your boss make you, like, pull your pants down and walk around the desk?
Oh, I had to do the walk of shame and say sorry to everyone. I had to write notes for them. So, yeah, it was great.
Oh, write notes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
Your walk of shame moment as well.
Oh, tough. Do you have any Mario Kart stories there, Casey?
No, I've never been that great at it.
No, okay. We'll catch you later, mate. That's what we want to hear from here.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch up on Hit 92.9.
Heidi, Woody, you guys provide perfect guinea pigs for all social experiments, but last time I did this kind of thing with you guys, I asked you something, I got you both to write something down on a piece of paper, and then you gave me your answers separately, all right? I'm going to do that again, but this is what happened last time.
How many times do you think, on average, a person has sex in their life?
Heidi,
Heidi
has written down 999 times. There is the average time of 6,000 per person, right? That is the average. Woody Whitelaw wrote down 69,000.
You can actually watch that whole break on our Facebook page.
I did good math. I didn't take into account that you don't do it for your first, you know.
Okay. Well, this time around, it's going to be a little bit different, okay? I'm asking for a number.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's a guy called Bob Hoover.
Related to Edgar?
Not sure.
Okay.
Who died today.
Oh, that's sad.
Died today at the age of 94. Huge innings.
Rest in peace, Bob.
I want you two, both, to write down on a piece of paper right now, what do you think Bob...
How many times he had... Oh, sorry.
What do you think Bob Hoover will be remembered for?
What?
What's he famous for?
Bob Hoover?
Bob Hoover.
Do we have to write it down?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
The who?
Maybe for you, Hides. Bob Hoover, what do you think he's famous for? Go on.
Okay.
Don't look, Woody.
This is...
You got to talk amongst yourself.
Yeah, I'll just talk.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot we're doing a radio show.
So
Okay, so I've got mine.
You've got yours. Okay, Bob Hoover. Bob Hoover's the guy, died at 94. Everyone listening in their cars, have a think about what you think Bob Hoover might have been famous for.
Well, I think mine and Woody's might be exactly the same.
Would you
essentially
reckon? Potentially. This is what I love
just
about
feel
you.
Like
sometimes
we
you
think
guys
the
do.
Same.
Yeah, you think on the same wavelength.
We pitch the same ideas sometimes for
right,
the show.
All right, yeah. Hand it over. You're pretty much the same person, Hutz.
I'm not finished.
I've got Heidi's.
I'm up to my second paragraph.
I just
he was a great guy, Bob Hoover.
I wrote mine in dot points.
All right, Woody, you've got 3 seconds.
Hang on.
Okay.
People are sitting in their cars going, hurry up.
Okay, all right. Here we go. I've got Heidi's. Woods? Heidi's is so predictable. Okay, you might. Heidi's very. Heidi. Yeah,
absolutely.
Heidi.
School Anderson here.
Heidi. Heidi. So predictable. His name. It's a vacuum product. Just in case you didn't know, it's a vacuum product. Hoover. He must have been an inventor.
Yeah, Bob Hoover.
Bob Hoover.
Did he invent the Hoover vacuum?
Incorrect.
Cobb and Anderson. I've got it.
Woody.
I've got it, haven't I? I've bloody nailed
it. Famous for fitting horse hoofs to the best racing horses in the world, e.g.
Hoover.
Zazman.
Zazman. And that's oh, it's because he's a Hoover.
Bob Hoover. He was a Hoover. It's a fake name. It's a stage name. He's
both
the
of
Hoover.
You, both of you are incorrect.
Mr. Hoover.
The thing
well,
that Bob,
was fun though.
It was fun. The thing that Bob Hoover is famous for, and like I think is possibly the coolest thing that you could ever be famous for. Like it's probably one of the coolest things you'd be famous for. Bob Hoover, very famous pilot.
Yes.
And in a stunt. Is the first man ever to break the sound barrier.
That's been broken, has it?
Yeah.
I don't even know we...
Okay.
Anna, do you know we broke the sound barrier?
I don't know what you mean by that.
So he's the first guy to fly faster than the speed of sound.
How do they...
How fast does sound go?
I think it's about 380 metres a second.
It just...
And so...
What? Is the movie The Fastest Indian based on that fella?
No, that's on about a motorbike. He flew a plane. But imagine that if you went out at the end of your life and people go, wow. I mean, it's like, you know, Bob Hoover, oh, what'd he do? Oh, he broke his first guy ever to fly faster than the speed of sound.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty awesome. Good. Like, if you came onto Earth.
It's definitely
someone,
a Will story.
Someone comes up to the age of five and you go, hey, you're going to be remembered to be the first person ever to break the sound barrier.
Will.
And it got me,
This might sound like a stupid.
Yeah, do you want to do it?
Question.
Or? Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Okay.
When you're breaking the sound barrier, do you just sort of line him up next to a bloke and then he goes, g'day?
Yeah.
And then there's a bloke standing in front and you see what...
Yeah, that's actually exactly how they do it, mate. Yeah. And the guy, whether the plane gets to him
whether
first
he hears
or he hears
it,
the
or
g'day.
He sees the...
Yeah, that's it. It's called the g'day sound barrier test, actually.
Yeah.
Now, Hides.
Catch your woods.
Now.
It's usually me that says the dumb stuff. Will wants to chat to me about science.
Okay. This is what I want to move past the sound barrier stuff.
All right.
Because I want to ask this question. 131060, I don't think anybody's going to be able to beat breaking the sound barrier if we're being realistic. I think that's possibly the coolest thing you'd be remembered for.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if you died today, right?
This is morbid.
No, not at all. If you died today, what would you be remembered for? So what's the thing? And look, I want to have a bit of fun with this. Like,
I feel like I haven't lived enough
I've got,
yet.
No, let's just go. But that's what I'm talking about though, Hides. Like when people are standing around, doesn't need to be in the newspapers or anything, but at your funeral, people are standing around and they go, when they're talking about you, what's the story?
Mine are going to be like all bad ones.
What's the story where they go, oh my God.
Do
yes, that's what I'd be remembered for. So 131060 is the number. It can be.
What about you? What would you be remembered for?
Famous DJ. World's famous DJ. Absolutely. What we need to
remember that sunset set he played next to his pool.
You're going to do the most underground DJ set ever. We're going to go to a mine.
It could be any. So what is the thing that you will be remembered for? Okay. So,
or that you want to be remembered for?
No,
or no just
that
the actual
people
thing.
Will go.
So they're at your wake and they're like,
might
oh,
be
do you remember when they did that?
It might be embarrassing, but the reality is that's what you'd be remembered for. Okay. All right. Cool. We've got Stefan here from Bayswater. How are you, bro?
Good, thanks.
Stefan,
fantastic.
If you died today, what would you be remembered for?
If I died today, I would be remembered as WA's Tongmaster. I won in 2011.
Fantastic.
as the best barbecuer in WA, and they've never run the competition since.
Fantastic.
So is that what you call the tongue master?
Tongue master. Yeah, they do mix it up with tongue master sometimes, but yeah, no, I'm not as the tongue master.
That, Stefan, I'm just talking about things that people are reluctant to be remembered for. That is massive.
Yeah. Can I ask, Stefan, what does the Tongue Master Championships consist of?
Oh, it was cooking beefsteak out on out of McKellen Park. And then we won. When we won, I got sent to America to compete in Australian barbecue competition.
Surely you've got to cook us a barbie.
How'd you go there, Steph? How'd you go in America?
We did really well. We got people's choice. And since then, I've been running a charity barbecue competition here in Perth.
The Tongue Master. Wow, Stefan, look how proud you are as well. You caught up straight away. I'll be remembered as the Tongue Master. Fantastic. I've got to test that out somehow.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Surely he needs to cook us a barbie.
If anybody else thinks they're...
I'm a pretty good barbecuer.
We can bring back the Tongue Master Championships.
The Tongue Master Championships.
This summer, the Tongue Master Championships are making a return.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the call, mate. We've got Corey here from Kelmscott. Hey, Corey, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Corey died today. What are you going to be remembered for, mate?
We went out surfing, me and a couple of mates and some girls. We went out surfing probably about a year ago now. Yep. Down at Secret Harbour, the boys got caught in a rip and some of the girls got caught in the rip.
Yeah.
So I had to actually go out on my surfboard and actually rescue them, and the lifeguard actually just left, so there was no one down there to sort of call.
Oh.
So it was up to me to save pretty much four or five of my mates from being caught into a rip.
Yes.
So you'll be known as the hero.
What a thing to be remembered for.
Pretty much, yeah. It was pretty good.
Wow.
So, and you saved him, Corey?
Yeah, could have left one or two, but, you know, I thought I did the right thing.
Be remembered as the guy that always left his friends out. Saved a few, not all of them. Wowee, thanks very much for the call, Corey. They are so much better than I think what any of us will be remembered for.
Hey, I'll be remembered for a good driver.
What?
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.
We've got a special guest in the studio.
We do. It's our producer, Jack. Now, hello, Jack.
Hello. Jack is back.
Oh, God. You're way too excited.
Wow.
Now, you are excited about this next thing because you've been given the opportunity to do another interview on our show, which the last one you did was Jess Murray and that for Wrong Girl.
Yeah, it's become like a bit of an occurrence now, and I've even made my own opener.
In a world where questions uncover the truth. This is Jack Chat.
I'm Captain Jack.
I think you've got a fine brain, Jack.
It's actually a really good opener.
Yeah, it's great.
That's actually the first time I heard it. It's really good.
Who made that? They're putting way more time into that than anything else we've played recently.
Audio producer Maddie, good job.
Okay, so Jack, last night was Survivor.
Oh my God, yes. Are you guys fans?
Not really, but you've been watching quite a lot though, mate.
Yes, I love it. I was so excited. I even wanted to go on Survivor, made my own audition tape and everything.
Yeah.
So interviewing the winner today was kind of a bit of like a stab in the gut.
Sure.
That could have been me.
Okay.
Yeah. You think you could have won?
For sure.
Okay, you're actually really confident here.
Did you say that, Denon, that you should have won?
Yeah, I think so. It's all a bit of a blur.
You can't remember your chat with them. So you've got a couple of highlights from the chat.
Yeah.
Well, the producer has. I think you spoke to them for about 10 minutes. Probably far too long.
It was like 7.5.
Okay.
You hung up on them a couple of times, apparently.
That was not my fault.
So we're going to play the full 7.5 minutes here?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Even heard what they've chosen, what the other producers have chosen.
Nah. So this is all, I'm sure it's all good.
But. Okay, great. Here we go. This is Jack Chat.
So last night on Australian TV, my favourite TV show. Oh, I've just lost Lee.
Are you good? I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Yep.
So last night on Australian TV, one of my favourite TV shows ever came to a dramatic ending, and this is what happened.
Winner of Australian Survivor, Christy.
And I am now joined by the winner herself, Christy. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you. And I'm also joined by the runner-up, of course, Lee. How's it going?
How are you going? How's things?
Good. I'm a big fan. Oh, you can probably tell. I even applied myself.
I love that.
Go for the next one next year.
Yeah, obviously my audition video needs a bit of work, but I might get your guys' help for that.
Oh my god, Jack.
You started well.
I don't like how this show portrays me, I don't think.
Mate, can you hear like Jack, the sound you, of your you? Voice compared to them as well?
Yeah.
And we got more. We've got more. Yeah, we've got
surely
more.
Surely they just hung up after that.
Yeah, we got more. No. We got more.
Now, Christy, you had a really rough time on the island. You didn't win any rewards. Lee, however, I'm surprised you didn't put on weight. You were pretty much eating Hungry Jacks every day.
It was a bit of a yo-yo diet weight that I had on the island.
Well, I was sitting eating rice and beans for 55 days.
So, pretty much, that was one of the best tribal councils I've ever seen last night. It was, I love when the jury gets to have their say. Lee, you got grilled.
Oh, didn't I?
The best part I thought was Elle's line of questioning. Like, Lee, she just asked you what you're going to do with the money, what you're going to do with charity, and then she just went to town on Christy. It was like a real soft question. On the island, like, what happens when you shower? Do you all get naked?
You don't.
You don't.
Thank you so much for joining me, Christy and Lee, the winner and runner-up from Survivor. It was the best ending I could have hoped for as a viewer. You guys played as hard as you could, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
That's all right. Thank you so much for having us.
See you later.
See you, bye.
Oh my god, we just lost all future interviews with Channel 10. Yeah. I mean,
look, they've obviously been on the island for a long time, so they've forgotten how to communicate properly. So that wasn't my fault.
Jack, that's fantastic. More interviews with
so
you,
bad.
I reckon.
I enjoyed the chat. I thought it was really informative.
I enjoyed doing it, not so much listening.
Well, that's kind of the trick, isn't it? You've got to make sure other people enjoy listening to it too.
Subaru Osborne Park's Big Five for 5 days. Get $500 cash back, $500 genuine accessories, and 5-year extended warranty.
The Heidi, Will and Woody catch-up on Hit 92.9.